Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
Welcome to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. The Golf Industry Uncut is your chance to go behind the scenes of the golf industry and get the inside scoop on the people that make the equipment you love possible. This week, we welcome John Ray from Cleveland Golf to the show. John, how are you?
Pretty good, Josh. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. I can honestly say having you on the show means I can finally tell people I've interviewed an MIT grad.
Well, you can check that off your list, I suppose.
Yeah, it should make my parents happy. It's a busy time for you guys with new launches and such, but we want to keep this a little bit about the wedge. But just thinking outside the box a little bit before we get into it, how do you stay afloat? I mean, there's 900 products that come out over the course of, a decade. And in the last week, you guys have released quite a bit.
Well, it's hard for me to say, because I guess when you start thinking about what we're launching this week, I'm not only thinking about what we just launched this week, but what we plan to launch in the spring or the fall of next year, and we're working on research for what's coming the year after that and thinking about stuff even further beyond that. So that 900 that you're talking about are about how many projects I got on my plate right now.
That seems fair. You should probably get some help.
It's a busy ship around here, and it takes a lot of us.
When I was out last week, we did some at your office. For those that are following along, we were just out at Cleveland Golf. We talked about the CBX wedges, but the first time I got information on them was about 6 months ago. And we sat in a room with you and the other R&D people and the marketing team. We went over it, and I left the offices with, in some ways, a little confused. Like, I didn't quite get it. I knew that it was a necessary thing, but I was only looking at imaging at that point, and I didn't quite understand it. Can you tell me where the idea behind the CBX wedges came from?
I guess for years and years, wedges were all sort of designed straight from the tour. The first place and first priority for us was to make a tour-proven wedge that tour players could put in their bag and it would work for them. And over time, every day we're testing people here with wedges, day in and day out, 300-plus days a year. And what we were finding was that these tour-specific wedges just don't work for higher handicap golfers. They need something different. And the first avenue we went down with that a few years ago was the Smart Sole type product, and made some stuff really for super high handicap golfers. And where that kind of opened our eyes is how much we almost instantly saw that when we design a product for the specific golfer, we can really, really, really improve his game. And that led to, well, what happens to all these guys that aren't single-digit handicaps, that might be a 10, might be a 15, might even be a 20 handicap? Is a tour wedge really right for them? And after a couple of years of research, we identified exactly what they needed, and it wasn't tour specs. It wasn't tour shaping. So we made a wedge that was right for them, and we're seeing pretty much from day one really, really big improvements in performance.
So as I mentioned, when I first saw it in the imaging, I just didn't quite understand it. I thought to myself, well, they already have a CB wedge. And then I got to see the product about 3 months before release, and I came away really impressed, more so because, and I don't think, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I don't think places like us, THP, give it the credit. The digital world doesn't give it the credit it deserves, because in imaging it looks very busy and non-wedge-like, whereas when you see it in person and you set it up, it looks identical to an actual wedge.
Yeah, at address, that was sort of one of our key things, because regardless of your ability level, as long as you've been playing golf, you're used to golf clubs that look a certain way. So one of our constraints is making sure when you set it down at address, when you put it behind the ball, it looks like every other wedge. It looks like what you're used to seeing. Where we hit all the technology was behind that. So instead of putting a small cavity in, we put a really big cavity, which got us the opportunity to give a pretty dramatic increase in MOI and a dramatic increase in forgiveness. Instead of just making the sole a little bit wider, we made it radically different. So it's about the same width in the heel, but much wider at the toe, giving you both traditional wedge versatility, but also a lot more forgiveness. And then we changed the shaft, we changed the weighting. And by doing all of that combined, we made what really is a significantly different golf club, but it looks the same behind the ball. So it gives you that same confidence, but realistically, if you're a 15 handicap, significantly better performance.
And I would say that regardless of 15 handicap, I urge people that are amateur golfers of all skill levels. I'm a single digit handicap, and the first time I picked it up, I was like, ah, it's going to lose some versatility. And then you try it, you don't even notice you're using it. Other than the way it looks in the bag, you don't notice there's any difference until you actually miss, and then you're on the green. And I kid you not, we were out there. The dean of THP and myself were playing Barona, and he was even opening up a 52-degree wedge and splashing one on the green with it. So the versatility is there.
It's great to hear that it works for you. And yeah, that, one of the things we think about as we talk about this wedge is that there's 84-85% of all golfers in the market are buying cavity back irons because they need that forgiveness. All of those golfers could probably benefit from a little bit of forgiveness in their wedges, and now they finally have one that's offering that forgiveness to them, so you might as well give it a try. If it isn't right for you, it might not be right for you, but for a big, big chunk of the market, it probably is right for you and will probably help you shoot lower scores.
It's a really interesting thing because it's not just about, and golf equipment in general, I guess we could categorize as this, and you're more of the extremely smart, way smarter than most science person, but as such a mental sport, there is a re-education process that Cleveland is going to have to endure to convince people to try them. That's through marketing and common sense, really. I mean, if common sense says, hey, look, if it looks the same but adds more forgiveness, I should at least pick it up and try it. So it's a really interesting part of it that shows what the emotional part of purchasing golf equipment is, not to go off on some strange tangent on you there.
Yeah, and it's for us, yeah, in spite of the fact that, yeah, 80% of golfers should be buying it, we've got realistic expectations for it. We know it's going to take us generations of making product like this to get enough people to hear the message, to get enough people to try it, that they realize what's available for them in this type of performance. And it takes a while for anything. And when larger-headed drivers started coming out, everybody was like, oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'm not used to looking at something so big. But quickly enough, people started realizing there was performance there, and now everybody plays a 460 driver.
It is. Golfers, I guess, fear change, I guess, would be the easiest way to put it, because we did it with the hybrids. We did it with graphite shafts. The list is endless on why we choose what we choose. Before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact on social media at THP Golf on just about every platform. I have another question for you about this wedge line before we move on, and that is, why hasn't it been done before?
I don't know. I guess the main issue, I would say, is that it's probably because there aren't a lot of companies out there like Cleveland that are big enough in the wedge offering that really cater to golfers of all abilities that could make this type of product. So to a large extent, we're one of really the only companies in the industry that could offer this type of thing, and maybe that's a fault of us where we dropped the ball and should have been bringing this technology to consumers sooner. But I guess it's time to stop looking in the past and time to embrace what we've got now, because it is a chance to get better and get better in a hurry.
Is it safe to say, just by looking at it, that the cost to manufacture this wedge is going to be higher?
It is a little bit. If you think about manufacturing in general, the more intricate the design gets, the more cavities there are, things like that, that's all the stuff that drives up cost. And a standard wedge has no cavity in the back, so it's a little bit easier to produce. It's a little bit easier to make hundreds of thousands of them consistently. So to make something that's got bigger cavities in the back, that has much more surfacing, that has plaques, all of those added features that are helping us make a better product, also drive up the cost on our side.
You guys put out a book recently on the wedge, and it's pretty damn fascinating. I went into it not expecting much, in all honesty. Not from me, my standpoint, but from the general golfer standpoint, but came out thinking every golfer should actually read this. If you like golf equipment, you should. Why now did that book come out, and what is it about the wedge that kind of drove it?
Well, I guess in general, the expression we always use around here is the wedge is what keeps the lights on for us. And we're day in and day out always thinking about it. And what we tend to find is that we get the same questions over and over. And those questions don't just come from average amateurs. They come from PGA pros at your local shop. They come from assistant pros. They come from even PGA professionals on the tours. And the more of that knowledge that we feel like we've had for decades, and we keep thinking we're explaining it to people, but people just sort of, we haven't gotten to everybody. We felt like it was time to sort of encapsulate some of that lifetime's worth of knowledge into something that we can distribute a little bit broader and give anybody a chance to learn a little bit more about the product. And the hope, I guess, for me and some of the other people when we were putting this together was that this would be one of those reference books that sits on the shelf at every country club and every golf shop and every PGA professional's bookshelf. And when that difficult question about golf clubs and specifically about wedges comes up, this is where you go because you know the answer's in there somewhere.
That was the part that was pretty fascinating was, yes, it's about wedges, but it really does relate to all golf clubs. And the crazy part is it would answer everybody's questions with honest facts on what is making your ball do what from an equipment standpoint.
Wedges and irons as well are really, we would cover everything from it. It's a lot of detail on grooves, faces. We walk in significant detail through the manufacturing process, what material selection is, how we choose different things. And I think, yeah, it would set up anybody that hasn't seen this stuff in person, set them up with a good base understanding of here's why we did what we did and here's how it affects the club in the end and the performance you get out of it.
If you had to single out one piece from that book that you think every golf equipment aficionado, that's the first time I probably ever used that word on this show, should single out and immediately gravitate towards, what would it be?
I think it, in my mind, everything comes back to fitting. And as much as golfers now won't buy a driver or probably won't buy a set of irons without getting fit, everybody seems to buy wedges right off the rack. And getting fit for wedges and thinking about wedges as a wedge set so that you get sort of matching wedges, matching technology, matching looks, matching performance, getting the right distance gapping, getting the right bounces for your swing type and the course you're playing, getting all of that right so you can get best performance all comes out of fitting. And sort of reading the efforts that we've put into making good wedge fitting, how important we think wedge fitting is to me the takeaway that any golfer should have.
When I read through it the first time, that was actually one of the things that stood out to me, but also the philosophy on fitting of not just let's make it for your perfect shots, but that it is about repeatable distance.
First and foremost, thanks for saying the first time you read it, implying that you're reading this thing by the bedtime, by the got on your nightstand every night, reading it over and over again.
It would be weird if I said under my mattress, so we'll say but nightstand. No, I've actually read it twice. The first time was on back-to-back flights from California to back here, and the second time was I missed something the first time on manufacturing that I wanted to go back to, and it was pretty fascinating, so I read the whole thing again. It's actually a very easy read. I'm not saying this because John's on the show. It's well-written, and I think any golf equipment person, even if it's not about the wedge, should read this. So quick moment of truth. What wedges are you playing, and what's in your own bag?
Right now, I have Rotex 3 blades. I got a 50, 54, 58 in black finish with standard dynamic gold shafts and the plus four grips that have that sort of reminder bar down the
bottom. Yeah, the Align grips from Golf Pride.
Yep. I've just been trying those out because I am deep in my mind somewhere, I am a firm believer that reminders help you hit better golf shots. I can't prove it, but I believe it. So.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that theory. I actually expected the RTX 3 blades because for those that are listening, you haven't seen a video yet, but we have a video coming up with John and another one of the R&D people, and he mentions the other person's golf game and why he should be using CBX wedges, and it's pretty funny. So you'll get to see that this coming week, later on in the week, and it's very much worth the wait. Now, it's time for Fire Away. 10 topics, nothing to do with golf. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
What is the best sandwich and from where?
There's a place down the street from us called Fritz and Cotter's, and they make a roast beef sandwich that will knock my socks off.
Interesting. Coming from Massachusetts, choosing the West Coast sandwich place. I didn't expect that.
I've been out here too long.
Last movie seen in a theater?
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Was it good?
It was very good. I am sort of a... Actually, I probably should admit it on the air, but I'm a bit of a movie thief, where I tend to go into the theater and stay a bit too long and might see a second movie if I don't like the first one. And that one was good enough for me that I felt I got my money's worth and I can go home.
Interesting, and we hope nobody from the movie theater hears this. You are to create the perfect burger. What is on it?
I am a simple burger guy, so it's pepper jack cheese, bacon, mustard and mayo, lettuce, tomato, no onions.
Interesting. Now, an MIT guy having on the show, I have to ask this question. Which cast member of The Big Bang Theory are you?
I'm embarrassed because I'm blanking on the names now, but I am probably the skinny, nerdy one who thinks he's a ladies' man.
The engineer from MIT. Shocker.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Oh, his name's Howard.
There you go, Howard.
Best toppings on a pizza?
Again, a simple man, so pepperoni and sausage.
Easier to work with, engineers or marketing people?
Engineers.
Really?
Yes. Because engineers deal in facts. Marketing people tend to deal a lot more in opinions. And as engineers, we're doing the design over here, and everybody thinks they can be a designer. So all the marketing guys come on over and tell us how our designs are wrong.
Oh, God, to be a fly on the wall during those conversations. Worst road rage in your office?
That might be me.
I could see that.
I live 500 yards from the office, so I have zero commute. As a result, I am not used to the California commute that everybody else here deals with on a day-to-day basis. So every time I have to go more than 2 minutes from my house, I tend to have a meltdown.
Favorite amusement park ride ever?
I feel bad because there was just that tragedy in Ohio, but that exact ride is my favorite ride. And I tend to go to the fair every year with a couple buddies and take the afternoon off of work and go for the all-you-can-ride day and drink a few too many beers, ride a few too many rides, and I am seasick for about a week after.
Most people get seasick from a week just by leaving Ohio, so that's probably, at least you get some fun out of it. You're traveling back from the PGA show. Do you choose back of the plane with Wi-Fi or front of the plane with no Wi-Fi?
I choose front of the plane, because by the time I get home from the PGA show, I want to get home. And the faster I can get off that plane and into my car and home, the better I can live without the Wi-Fi to accomplish that.
And finally, iPhone or Android guy, and why?
iPhone, because that's the one that we have at the company. So my company phone is an iPhone, and I'm too lazy to carry a second phone around with me.
We want to thank John for coming on the show and talking to us. Don't forget, you can find all the THP radio shows on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And of course, you can download the THP mobile app, and that features all of this, our wonderful podcasts, along with news, THP TV video content, and a whole lot more, available for free on your iPhone or Android device. So for myself and John, we hope you enjoyed the show. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.